Welcome to That Foreign Feeling, a podcast that creates space for conversations surrounding mental health, grief, and loss. When you may not know what you are feeling exactly, but you know something is different. You may not be able to explain it or understand it. All of these feelings are what we call that foreign feeling.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back for another episode of That Foreign Feeling. Today's topic is going to be about accepting emotions and how that can improve emotional health. And today, your hosts are Grace and Steph. That's me. So we're going to jump right in and talk about what is emotional acceptance. First off, some reasons why we fight accepting our emotions. I think we can all agree it doesn't feel good. It's uncomfortable. We don't want to feel them and or experience them and stuff. They're just the negative ones. They're not fun. So this can lead to rejecting our emotions and possibly letting them take over. But the good news is there's another option. I have some information today from verywellmind.com, which we've used in the past. And they say that accepting our emotions means practice allowing your feelings to be what they are without judging them or trying to change them. It involves being aware of your emotions and accepting that these feelings exist without trying to suppress or push them away. The article actually has a different way and to say this, and they recap it, and I actually like this better. Acceptance means letting go of attempts to control your emotions and learning that emotions themselves cannot harm you. Although the things you may do to try to get rid of emotions, such as misusing alcohol, maybe can harm you. I think that control aspect and not judging them is the biggest. Honestly, when I first heard they were talking about, and different parts through the article when they were talking about accepting our emotions, in my head it kept being like, but don't like forget, we need to realize we're not accepting like, oh, that's my emotions, that's my life, which we will get into next. And the key is really being aware of what you're doing after that emotion happens, is kind of my take.
Yeah, it's like more of the reaction piece than like the actual emotion. Because that kind of reminded me of like being in, I have group projects in every single class that I'm in right now. And to be able to be like an effective group member, like obviously you need to be positive and you need to be encouraging and you need to do your part. But when your other group members don't do that, you feel like frustration and overwhelmed and kind of feeling that you need to step in, you know, and you should really just trust your group members that they're going to like pull their weight. But that's when I have to like check myself, kind of like what you were saying with the actions is like, I just have to kind of sit back and hope that my group members do their part and not show them that I'm frustrated and maybe just use that as more of a verbal thing and just be like, hey, I'm feeling overwhelmed, as if like you guys aren't doing your part and like I have enough on my plate that I can't do your part in addition to mine, rather than showing off this crabby attitude and then no one wants to work with me in a group. So this is extremely important, especially like with your individual self, but like when you're around other people, being able to like, you know, not control it or suppress it, but just being able to like twist it and use it in more of a positive way.
Because when you walk away from that situation, even after expressing yourself, you have to accept that you still can't control what they do. And I honestly think it's okay to sit and think like you mentioned, like, cause then I don't want to be in a group with you, to even realize like, maybe you don't want to be in a group with me. And that's fine, because the reality is we have to do group projects. So like,
That's so true.
Yes. So that was a little bit about what accepting means. So what does that mean? Like, kind of what I said, do we just sit back in our terrible feelings? No, because there's a difference between acceptance and resignation that the article talks about. So to clarify again, when we are talking about accepting emotions, it doesn't mean, and this is just me thinking, not the article. So it doesn't mean we accept that that what caused them is right. I think that's a huge thing to remember too, when we're accepting that like our emotions are there, that it doesn't mean what caused them is right. It's being aware. And it doesn't mean we just sit in there and say, this is my life. And because the article talks about how that's resigning yourself to pain. They use a metaphor for acceptance and say, imagine that you're a soldier who has fought a long battle with your emotions. Acceptance is the act of putting down your weapons and walking away from the fight. You are not resigning yourself to be beaten up by your feelings. Instead, you are simply letting go of the struggle. Which was a super good visual. And, you know, this article is funny because I feel like emotion regulation has been huge for me, and I have gone through DBT and had diagnoses that are mentioned in the article and stuff. But like, I wouldn't just leave it at, okay, you resign, you let go of the struggle. That will open you up so that you can do the next part, which I think, so just personal opinion, would be to invest into looking into the root cause for why the battle happened in the first place and what caused that emotion and what can I do to work through it. Did I have a part to play in it and stuff? Like, did I take offense off of something they really didn't even mean as an offense and stuff? Because they have a history too. They have baggage too. They came from somewhere too, had experiences before they walked up next to me and stuff, all kind of things to think about.
I think so. In addition to that, there are times where we're in an uncontrolled situation that might cause like our emotions to, you know, be expressed in certain ways. Kind of like I was saying before about like being in a group project, like I can't control, you know, that my group members don't do their part. And being at where I'm at in my college lifetime, I'm ending my undergrad to go into grad school, and there's a lot of things that are out of my control, which obviously adds a ton of stress onto me because I like to be in control. But I do have to like just kind of trust and accept that like how I'm feeling is okay, because I'm not allowed to do anything different. You know, I have to kind of put it in other people's hands as to like finding my internships, and my email for my grad school isn't working. So I have to like put that into like IT and just allow them to do their part and hope that they do it. Whereas obviously that leaves me feeling like scared and worried that like it's not going to get done and it's going to get put on the back burner and then I'm not going to have access to my email. It will all work out, yes, but like, in the meantime, like I have high emotions and I just need to, you know, find tools that I know we're going to get into later that will like help push me forward. Yeah. And like know that it is going to be okay, even though I am feeling this way, and that I'm not taking out on like the people around me that are trying to like help and support me, even though there's nothing that they can really do about it. So I just wanted to put that out there, that there are situations where we're not in control, and sometimes that can make our emotional status different.
Right. So, I think that was so good, because, you know, we can sit and like say all this, read from resources and stuff, but like when you say something, it makes it sound so easy. And you just gave like a bajillion good examples of like how it's not easy. And I'd say almost it's better. Probably, I wish I maybe when I was younger, you were even told like that I'm lucky if I can control. I can just control myself and my reactions and stuff. So it's like better to think going into any situation. Like it doesn't matter what my will is because I can't control the environment.
Right.
And stuff. But yeah. So
thanks, Grace.
Good point. That was really good.
Yeah. Thanks.
So we're going to talk a little bit about why accepting emotions are helpful. The article says emotions are part of a complex system that helps you decide what you should stay away from and what you should approach. Like if we went back and went through everything you just said, we could probably stop and be like, all right, why did that plague an emotion? And like learn from it and use it. They help you maintain lasting emotions, help you maintain lasting relationships with other people. That was something they pointed out in the article too. And for me, it triggered to mention that just because someone's making you emotional doesn't mean it's a good relationship. So don't just stay in it because you're like, oh, emotions, we're building a lasting relationships. No, like if, with your good relationships, those emotions will help you stay connected and have compassion towards each other and stuff like that. Because if we ignore our emotions, it can lead to poor decision making. And they don't necessarily say why. They kind of give examples, like maybe like drinking would be like a poor decision to like use that for your emotions to get away from them. So why do you think ignoring them leads to bad choices? Like if you were to ignore all of what you're going through right now, why is that going to blow up in your face?
Well, I think it goes back to like judgment on things, you know, like how you respond and how you feel allows you to judge a certain situation. And to me, I feel like the reason I have such high emotion about this right now is because I want it so bad and I want it to like turn out to be something good. And if I didn't have these high of emotions, I think that I just flat out wouldn't care. And then that would lead me to not wanting to go because I'm like, well, if this doesn't affect me, then like, why am I wasting my time? Which then in turn would allow me to like, well, wouldn't allow me, but it would steer me away. And I would just want to quit in a sense and just be done and be like, you know what? Like, this isn't worth it to me. I don't care anymore. Right. And for me, I am a very empathetic and emotional individual. So like I feel everything. And the fact that I am stressed about this, I can read into it and be like, well, I know that the stress is worth it. You know, sometimes that like when you're in those like high stress or high emotion situations, you have to like take a step back and be like, is this worth it? Like, is it worth putting myself through all of this and trying to, you know, just push forward? And if I think about it like that, I want to do it.
You value the growth that you're getting from pushing yourself to push through it versus like if we ignore emotions, I think it's dangerous because like we can just choose to numb them out with something or just drop out, like you said, just be like, I'm done with it, I don't do it. There's no growth in either one of those things and stuff. And as we get older and stuff, I think we both realize, and we're in different stages, and I feel like it can even seem like my parents still experiencing this, like life changes, experiences changes, how you deal with things is going to change because your environment's constantly changing, those around you are growing and stuff. So you're just always in a different stage. Like when my girls were little, I thought, oh, this is such a cute stage. And then they'd get in a different stage and I'd be like, oh yeah, it's harder, but they're in a different stage, but it's like an okay one, but a different kind of hard. That's literally, I feel like that's going to be life always. So we have to change and grow.
With kids at home and a family business, it doesn't take much for my schedule to get thrown off. Flexible therapy options has been a lifesaver. That's why I choose BetterHelp, the sponsor of today's podcast. I can change my appointment easily via their app, switch from a video call to a hands-free phone call if I end up on the road, or change from a video or call to real-time messaging from my phone or computer if my kids are around. If you think BetterHelp could be the right choice for you and your unpredictable schedule, check out our description and look for the link betterhelp.com/thatforeignfeeling. Clicking that link helps support this podcast, but it also gets you 10% off your first month of BetterHelp so you can connect with a therapist and see if it helps you. Again, we will have that link in our description below, but if you have a pen handy, that's betterhelp.com/thatforeignfeeling. Thank you, BetterHelp, for sponsoring this episode.
We're going to get into some strategies that can help us better understand and accept emotions. A lot of these, if you guys have listened to any of our other podcasts, have probably heard of some of these. The article lists off mindfulness, meditation, mindful breathing, therapies such as CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy, DBT, dialectical behavioral therapy, just called DBT, acceptance and commitment therapy, and mindfulness-based stress reduction. These all have links to the resources in the article, but in another article we'll have linked in our show notes from positivepsychology.com, it says, I loved this. It says, the act of accepting that we are feeling emotions we would rather not feel can be the key to letting them go. Like, that's why it's such a big deal, because once you let them go, you can open up that space for that growth and like what to do next. This was like an awesome article on emotion regulation, and it covers a lot of what we talked about today and has lots of examples on applying strategies. So one strategy they gave is a part of CBT, and I'm going to go through it right now to help us and the listeners, whoever's tuning in, to kind of give them us and them a tool right off the bat. And I'm going to read it right from their article, and that was again from positivepsychology.com on emotion regulation. It says STOPP, S-T-O-P-P, so two P's, is a strategy that will help you in the heat of the moment when you are dealing with intense emotions. It incorporates aspects of cognitive behavioral therapy, DBT, and mindfulness meditation to help you more effectively address and manage your emotion response to a challenging, difficult, or rage-inducing incident. STOPP, S-T-O-P-P, stands for S, stop. Just pause for a moment. T, take a breath. Notice your breathing as you breathe in and out. O, observe what thoughts are going through your mind right now. Where is your focus of attention? What are you reacting to? What sensations do you notice in your body? P, pull back, put in some perspective. What's the big picture? Take the helicopter view. What is another way of looking at this situation? What would a trusted friend say to me right now? Is this thought a fact or an opinion? What is a more reasonable explanation? How important is this? And how important will it be in 6 months' time? Ooh, that's good. I like that. P. This is the second P, practice what works. Proceed. What is the best thing to do right now? For me, for others, love that they put that in there, for the situation. What can I do that fits with my values? Do what will be effective and appropriate. They actually say if you learn only one skill that'll help you to more effectively regulate your emotions, that this should be the one. It was super good. I did like that a lot. And that pausing yeah. before I react and stuff, I think is huge instead of like letting the top blow off the volcano. Cause that's how I feel. Like, I know if I get angered, which I looked up what's like the hardest emotion, and that was anger. I know that if I let it go, like, then I just keep moving forward in it and mm-hmm. stuff. So it's better to just take that pause.
Yeah. I find myself in the first P. I realized that, like, what you were saying, well, what the definition gave in the article is exactly how I said I was reacting to my undergrad grad situation, about like just taking a step back and knowing that, like, in the end, it's all going to be worth it. And that's how I approach a lot of situations, and I find it very helpful. So I'm glad that I'm doing something right. I should probably work on the other four letters more, but I at least am practicing the first P. So I'm proud of myself.
Yay! It worked already.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So yes. At the end of the day, we need our emotions to help us flag situations that make us feel emotional. We need to be aware of those emotions and accept the reality that we have them, but we don't have to live in them. There are strategies to help us better understand our emotions and regulate them, turning them into tools versus temptations to act out or triggers to avoid situations. That was my little recap.
Yeah, it's perfect.
So thank you all for tuning in to today's episode. You can find more on the Butterfly Path website at thebutterflypath.org. Check them out. They are a nonprofit. We're here to support and back 100%. You can find us on Facebook or Instagram at That Foreign Feeling, and the same with the Butterfly Path. On Instagram, the Butterfly Path is the_butterflypath. If you have any concerns or advice or comments, you can email us at thatforeignfeeling@gmail.com. And make sure to visit the show notes for the information we talked about today.
Thanks. Have a good day, everyone.
Thank you for listening to That Foreign Feeling. For more information on the Butterfly Path or this podcast, visit thatforeignfeeling.com.